So one thing that people are encouraged to do when they're running for a title is to define their platform. Why are you doing this? Why are you up on stage? Why are you doing what you're doing? What do you want to accomplish with your title year should you win? So I had a whole platform. I had written a speech based on my platform. And I had shown that to a friend who's been involved in the community for a long time. And he looked at it and he said, you know what, this is pretty awful. This is not a winning speech. This is not a winning platform. Well, it was, you know, one of the things that people say, or, you know, the joke about contests is you play a leather contest bingo. You hear buzzwords like community and diversity, representation, inclusion. It was a speech that I put together because I thought that's what the judges wanted to hear. It wasn't my speech. That's what the real challenge was from him. It wasn't that it was a bad speech. It's like, I don't think this is you. So that forced me to really think about, why am I running for this title? What am I hoping to accomplish?
This is The Competition. I'm James Kim.
And I'm Elissa Dudley.
Pup Yoshi is one of the 11 contestants fighting for the title of Mr. LA Leather. And he's feeling the pressure. We're just a couple days away from the competition. And Yoshi is at his home in Long Beach preparing for the 90-second speech he has to give in front of the judges and audience.
And 90 seconds doesn't sound like a lot of time, but being on stage with the spotlight on you, no music to back you up, it's just you and hundreds of eyes looking at you. And while you're under the stress, you have to give a personal speech that'll tell people who you are, why you're running for Mr. LA Leather, all while keeping the audience engaged.
Yeah, and Pup Yoshi has a lot to say, but he's only got 90 seconds to say it.
Yeah, but luckily for us, we're not working under those time constraints.
Exactly. And so I wanted to find out who Yoshi is by starting at the beginning. I asked him to tell me about his life when he was growing up in Hawaii as a queer Asian kid who was still closeted.
I look back at it now, it's like, I'm just so naive about all of this. I mean, I hung out with a bunch of nerds, so we were all pretty boring kids. You know, none of us got out, none of us drank, none of us really partied or anything like that, so.
Like nerds in what way? Like, what were you geeking out about?
Okay, we had Star Trek reenactments, and people actually made uniforms. I'd say that counts as that's pretty high level in the nerd quantity. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I don't mean to laugh, but yeah.
Oh, come on. But it's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. I was pretty oblivious. Like, I didn't know, but, you know, I think if it had been today, I'm sure we would all have been out in high school. Of my close group of friends in high school, there are now 4 of us that came out. Hawaii is a very conservative place, culturally. Even though there's more than 1 million people who live in Hawaii, it very much acts like a small town, and everybody knows everybody, everybody knows everybody's business. And there was a lot of perceived and actual shame with being gay. It wasn't all that great. That was, I think, one of the reasons my parents had such a visceral reaction to me coming out. You know, my mom told me, I just don't want you to make a mistake. But I think a large part of it was also shame on their parts. You know, what did I do to raise this child this way? And what are people going to think about me as a parent if they find out that my son is gay? I know that had a lot to do with it. They've never said that, but I know that's what a lot of the reaction was.
Was there something that was going through your mind, or were you thinking about something before you blurted out the words?
I think what was going through my mind was I'll tell you what I was going through my mind. It was almost like a, I'm sorry to inconvenience you by saying this. And I see your head move, and I know exactly what you're thinking, because you understand that feeling, right? It's like, it's very much an Asian feeling and a very, very much an Asian thought of, when I have something to tell you that's uncomfortable, that I know you're going to find uncomfortable, it's like you're almost already apologizing for the fact that you have to say something.
I completely get the feeling that he's talking about.
If any of you listeners out there haven't guessed based on James Kim's name, he is also Asian American.
Yeah, and I know what it's like to have the pressure of succeeding when your immigrant parents sacrificed everything just for you to have a better opportunity than they did. And coming out, I mean, I don't know how to explain it, but I mean, with my parents, being gay meant that you wouldn't have a great future ahead of you.
How old were you when you came out?
Well, I was about 25 years old, so it was...
Oh, not that long ago.
No, it was pretty recent. And I mean, the discussions I've had with my parents about it, they look at everything very...
They're like very practical about it.
Yeah, they are very practical about it. And all they care about, you know, with this bright future is a family, to be successful at your job. And they think that being gay...
It's just like a roadblock to those things.
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of pressure could be suffocating, you know? And it definitely was for Yoshi. So he left the Big Island for California to be his true self. But obviously, you can't ditch your baggage by moving to a new place.
I was really not in touch with my sexuality. It seems strange to say that, but I didn't understand how to be sexual. I didn't know what to do with the feelings I had.
So then what did you do?
I don't know. I went to church and tried to pray a lot. And again, it's the same. Just like high school, I ended up hanging out with the guys that ended up coming out, or were gay, but for reasons chose not to.
In your church group?
Yeah.
Do you remember your first sexual experience?
I do.
Do you feel comfortable talking about it?
It wasn't that great.
tell me the setting. Like, what happened before? Like, how did you meet this person?
It was with a friend, and it was really more of a negotiation process of like, okay, this is how we're going to handle this. It was more like checking something off of a list, and I kind of got it done. It's like, okay, this is what it's like. Yeah, it was a little bizarre.
Like one of your friends from church?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Like, did you guys just plan it? Like, on this day, we'll just do it.
We kind of did. I mean, it seems awful to think that, but yeah, we really did. Numb is not the right word, but even though I just had sex, I wasn't really in touch with my sexuality.
Well, then when did that moment come where you realized that, like, you did enjoy having sex?
That probably came a couple of years later. I was single, and I pretty much had stopped going to church at that point. I think I had kind of written that part of my life off. But I was still friends with a lot of those people. I really hadn't made friends outside of that circle. So I met Gary at a club, and we kind of hit it off pretty quickly.
Did you meet him at a leather bar?
Kind of, yeah, we'll say that.
Okay, two questions. Who is Gary? And what kind of club are we talking about here? Like a leather bar? Why is he being so weird?
Okay, we're going to get to Gary shortly, I promise. And no, we are definitely not talking about a leather bar.
like an Eyes Wide Shut situation. Like, what's going on?
Okay. I'm just going to let your imagination
what
run wild.
What happens after I go home?
This is not for straight people, I swear.
That's the vibe I get.
Yeah. But either way, when Gary and Yoshi met, they locked eyes immediately.
He is someone that draws people to him. I mean, that's just who he is. He's a very outgoing guy, but he's also, he's one of those people that you talk to and people like to be around him. They want to be around him. That's the energy I was attracted to. And I remember thinking, I just cannot believe that he's letting me be around him.
Do you remember what you talked about?
Not a whole lot. It was really more of a physical thing than, yeah. So yeah, we don't really need to get into too much of those details, but yeah. He invited me over the next day, and he made me lunch. That was the amazing part, is he made me lunch. And it was a French dip sandwich, and he made the au jus. I know, every time I tell people that story, they're like, are you kidding? It's like, why don't you marry this man? It's like, well, I did.
I want to talk a bit more about you and Gary. Are you guys monogamous?
I can hear the laughter already from people listening. No, we are not monogamous.
How do you define your relationship?
So we're married. We're legally married. We're open. You hear this term mentioned a lot, leather family. We do have a boy, and we do have another one that's starting to become part of our family.
Okay, so what is a leather family exactly? Yeah.
So that's just another word for a polyamorous relationship. The way leather families work is essentially there are doms, which in this case are Papi Yoshi and his husband Gary, and subs. But it's more than just sex, at least for Gary and Yoshi. Each time they bring someone new into their relationship, they treat them like they're part of their family. They have them come over, they cook for the boys. Some of the time, they're all just hanging out with no sex involved. And because of this dynamic, Gary and Yoshi grow attached to the boys in their leather family.
Other boys have come in to our family and left. That's not an uncommon thing. You know, your life changes, what your circumstances are changes, what your needs are change. And so when people have left, it's disappointing just because you don't want them to leave. But, you know, you also want the best for them. And so that was, you know, they needed to move on. So, yeah.
Is it common for people in the leather community to be open when they are in relationships?
I think people who are in monogamous relationships kind of get shamed. The most recent Mr. LA Leather and his fiancée are monogamous, and they've been that way since the beginning. I asked him, you know, once, like, what was your most surprising moment of your year? And he said, you know, it was the moment that I got shamed for being in a monogamous relationship. That's the thing. It's like, there are no rules about how relationships should work other than everyone in there should be under their own free will and deserves to be respected. That's it. I don't understand the motivation to judge people for that.
And while the current Mr. LA Leather was being scrutinized for his monogamous relationship, Yoshi was also being judged because he's one of the few Asians in the community that's made up of mostly white men.
Somebody hit me up online once and said, hey, you look really hot. I love a good Asian who knows his place. So it's like, wait a minute, you know, hello. The assumption is that if you're Asian, that you're passive, that you're submissive, that you're going to be embarrassed by sex or not want sexual contact. And I think people have a certain view of what you're going to be like. One of the events during Leather Week, it was a diversity forum. And one of the speakers, a guy who's half Korean, half German, talked about his experience with being online. And when he puts Asian on there, the amount of response is like nothing. But if he puts mixed race or if he puts white, their response rate is double, triple, you know, it's way more. I experienced that personally. For every message that I get, Gary literally gets hundreds. And I've had other, no, it's not just Asian, but other people of color who have said the same thing. They switch their profile race to mixed race and instantly it goes up. So it's not that people were treating me badly to my face or being rude or saying you don't belong here. It's just, how are you seen? But I think there is something to be said that why hasn't there been an Asian man on the stage at Mr. L.A. Leather for several years? Why hasn't there been one? That has an impact, I think, on whether people think that this is something that is for them. I mean, I see my Asian leather friends and the joke is, it's like, okay, are there two of us, three of us? Okay, we made the quota. It's kind of a gallows humor way of thinking about it, but that it's the reality of things. It's like, why are people that look like us not here? And I'm going to do what I can to change that. And part of that was to run.
Yoshi is taking the next couple days to fine-tune his speech and prepare for the Mr. Los Angeles Leather competition.
Yeah, and before we get to the big day, we have one more contestant to introduce you to, Ben.
Some people say in a speech you have to make them laugh, make them cry, and make them hard in 90 seconds, which is difficult and scary.
The competition is hosted by me, James Kim.
And me, Elissa Dudley.
Our editor is Cameron Kell.
Who also did the music, along with this guy, James Kim, and Ryo Baum.
And our theme music is by Andrew Eben. Until next time.